loves shall the old order and the earth produce all the necessities of men in profusion.
Due to its fatty milk back and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Purport. The basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. The necessity of human society are food, grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly one does not require flesh and fish or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira, all over the world, there were regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of the human being. The heavenly king Indradev is the controller of rains and he is the servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon, and these rains are the causes of all varieties of production on the land. Not only do regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of an artificial, luxurious life of cinemas, car, radio, flesh, and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cow for their selfish purposes? Why should men not be satisfied with grains, fruit, and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Pariksit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira, while touring his fast-gained kingdom, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country's citizens also? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses? Are these the signs of equality, fraternity, and non-violence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern, advanced, civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhisthira's is by far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than an animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the Lord himself is the seed-giving father and material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, mother material nature has enough foodstuff both for animal and for man by the grace of the Father Almighty, Sri Krishna. The human being is the elder brother of all other living beings. He's endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals for realizing the course of nature. And the indication of the Almighty Father, human civilization should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ginandana Salakya Shakshuru Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sigura Sita Padakamanam Sigurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Visalpam Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kantarada Ganta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavatam speaks about the misguided lives of a misdirected civilization. And that is what we are seeing. We're seeing how it is described. Men, like animals, are voting to elect another man who is like an animal. And in this way, man has become the royal edition of the animal. That's all. So, in that case, society becomes very hellish. When you're finished, I'll start. When you're finished, I'll start. It was quite okay, and now it's still intense. Trouble is too high. Same. This message of this purport is a very clear message, which is a message that we should not fail to present to the world again and again. And we must thoroughly understand it. We must understand that due to the fact that society is totally organized in a wrong way, that therefore there are all kinds of misconceptions, such as the idea that the world is overpopulated. And are we ready to say it's not? And are we ready to defend that? When they say that the world is heavily overburdened by now 7 billion people, and how can the planet possibly sustain 7 billion people? That is the question. Impossible. And anyone will say that there is a major problem on the planet due to overpopulation. Except Srila Prabhupada. He said something else. And are we ready to repeat it, to defend it, and to logically understand it so that we can defend it? It's simple. Because people eat so many animals. Therefore, they breed so many animals. And all those animals need so much grain. An animal, cattle, eats about 30 times more grain than human beings, so they say. So, then if we think how many animals are being produced for food, if the human beings would simply eat the grains, and there wouldn't be a need to breed so many animals. And the animals that would be there would be protected and live peaceful lives. Then everything would work. Prabhupada said he traveled the world many times over, and in so many parts of the world he saw so much vacant land, even in South Africa. So much vacant land. As soon as you go a little bit interior, You see lots of vacant land. Or you see farms that are very large and that are basically used for producing cash crops. They are producing crops for bringing money to the farmer so that he can buy machines. He can buy all kinds of modern products from the factories. But if the farm, if the land is simply used by different farmers to produce food grains for their own sustenance, then everything will work fine. And the world can still carry many, many more people. And therefore, there is no question of population, of overpopulation. So we must be able to stand up for this and project this message into the world. The other message is there, very much there. Overpopulation. Some people think that actually the planet can only comfortably sustain 1 billion people. And some people think that which 1 billion people should be those 1 billion people. And some people think that the other 6 billion, which we have currently, should actually not be there. And in which category do you think they're going to put us? In the 1 billion that should be on the planet, or in the 6 billion that should not be on the planet? Which one do you think that they would put us in? The demons. Which one do you think? So in this way, the devotees cannot just stay at home and have Mahaprasadam and have a nice darshan of the deities and happily chant Hare Krishna. Because the demons don't sit still. They don't just sit at home and eat their horrible things. Oh no, they have a big agenda. They have an agenda to systematically exploit the world as much as possible, and they want as big a piece of the world as they can get under their control. And they're ready to work very hard for that. And some of them are very, very determined and very austere. They hardly sleep. One famous demon was Stalin. And it said Stalin would hardly sleep. Sometimes 2 hours a night, maximum 4, no more. And Stalin was very tolerant, very determined. It said he even had heart surgery, open heart surgery, without any anesthetics. He just sat there. He was a tough guy. So sometimes we see great determination in people, but unfortunately it's misdirected, misguided, and demoniac determination. And we see very weak determination in devotees who are wavering and thinking, how will I chant my rounds today? So many, 16, it's like it's going to take me the whole day. No, I have no time to do anything because I have to chant 16 rounds. So maybe that sounds a little sarcastic, and maybe it is sarcastic. What can I say? Because somehow or other, we have something to do. We need not only to preach the message about cow protection and about living from the land, but we need some heroic people to do it. It's difficult because the trend in the world is in the opposite direction. The trend is in a different direction. The trend is, in the year 2000, 35% of the world population was living in the cities, and now it's 55%. So it's a very large increase in 15 years. 20% of the world population moved into the cities, and the cities are growing and growing. and the countryside is gradually getting abandoned. So yes, these things are there for us also to consider as a movement. South Africa may have additional complications, security issues and so on, but even that, you know, it depends how much wealth you flash. The more wealth you show, the more security you need. Simple as that. So these things are also there. Anyhow, this verse is speaking about the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira and how society was healthy, how society was pious, and how as a result of a proper lifestyle, everything was profusely available and material life was pleasant. Now, there is a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress in material life. And many times, the material conditions are not giving us an easy spiritual life because society is not designed for it. So we need to struggle for our spiritual life. Nonetheless, it can be done because it has been adjusted. Srila Prabhupada adjusted it for this modern lifestyle. He gave a program which does fit in a normal lifestyle in this world. So that is our challenge. Spiritual life always has been challenging in every age. Even in the Satya Yuga, although in the Satya Yuga the conditions were very easy and very nice, and there was no need to work, grains were growing naturally, fruits were everywhere, so one didn't have to work at that time. All that needed to be done was meditation, but it had to be done for a very long time. That was the problem. Now everything has to be done for a short time and quick results are there. And in Satya Yuga, everything had to be practiced for an extremely long time. So then again, the opportunity was there to sort of get deviated in the mind, and that also happened. So spiritual life in all times has been and will be a challenge. And there always will be that personal element of fight in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada called it a war with Maya. And it always will be a war with Maya. Because Maya will always test us. Not only in this yuga, where life is very difficult, but in all yugas. Therefore, we cannot think, especially now, it's very difficult. Now it's very difficult to practice spiritual life. At other times it was much more easy. But in this age, it's very difficult, almost impossible. Therefore, it's understandable that I cannot do it. It's what to say. It's just understandable. Because now the circumstances are just so difficult. They've never been so difficult before. It's Kali Yuga. What can we do? So that is false reasoning, actually. Because that is overlooking the fundamental nature of spiritual life. That spiritual life involves surrender. Surrender is required. That is Krishna's requirement. Naham prakasa sarvasa yoga maya samavritaha. I keep myself covered for those who are not surrendering unto me. That is not a principle that only applies now, but that always applies. So what can we say? Krishna covers himself. So this is not a lecture to sort of where I'm like whipping the audience. You know, it may be, some may misunderstand my presentation and may think that I'm trying to beat my audience and tell my audience, come on, fight, do it, do it. No, that's not it. I'm saying, it's up to you. It's entirely up to you. If you want to do it, do it. Don't want to do it, don't do it. You know, if you want to chant Hare Krishna, chant. Don't want to chant Hare Krishna, sleep. Or try to enjoy the senses, as you like. Because ultimately, it is a choice. Krishna consciousness is a choice. We have a choice. It's up to us. No one can be forced. And we cannot force people also. It's not possible. For a little while. And for a little while, we can have a very strict program, very strict check that everybody gets up. Make sure that everyone is chanting. Make sure that everyone does everything right. And then they will anyway do what they want. Because sooner or later, everyone will follow what he desires. So it's a choice. Therefore, I say now, right away, no push from my side. No push at all. Opportunity. Yes, opportunity is there. And it's the same for me, because who's pushing me, I don't know. All I can say is that I have to also chant 16 rounds every day. And it may not be a big number, but some days it is. Today, only 4 done. So late. It's bad. Sometimes I'm on this nice program of chanting 16 rounds before Mangal Arati. Those are the good times. I always say 16 rounds before Mangal Arati, they are the best. 16 rounds after, before darshan, second best. 16 rounds before dark, third best. 16 rounds after dark, heavy. Late night rounds. Those are the rounds you have to chant. Those are the rounds you don't want to chant. that's the nature of those rounds. So, what to do? I'll try it before dark. Maybe before noon. Let's do that, before noon. Yes, so... we are all in a material situation, and I sum it up that sometimes you're on top of the elephant and other times the elephant is on top of you, and that is material life. What to do? It's not going to be always easy, but we protect our spiritual life. That is there. And then we try and do something to stand up for Krishna consciousness. But nothing is easy. Therefore, first we have to work on our own conviction. We have to understand why are we doing this. Yeah. The better we understand why, the more convinced you are. I like the story of Karna, who was accepted by Parasuram. And Parasuram had asked him before, "So you are not a Kshatriya?" And everyone had told Karna, no, that he was not a Kshatriya. So he said, "No, I'm not a Kshatriya." He was accepted by Parasuram. He served him very nicely. He learned all the astras and all the weapons, celestial weapons. And then, one day, Parasuram was so pleased, resting with his head on the lap of his disciple, when an insect stung Karna in the leg. And he didn't want to disturb his spiritual master. And somehow or other, with great determination, he managed to stay calm. Although the pain was excruciating, he tolerated it, and he didn't move. And the spiritual master slept nicely. But when he woke up, he saw the blood. He said, "What is that? What happened?" Then Karna explained. He said,
as an insect stung me in the leg. Denbar Saran smelled Exatria. He said, how could you tolerate? How could you tolerate such pain? No one can tolerate such pain except for Exatria. So I like that point because it shows that in the moment, the tolerance of Exatria is stronger than the tolerance of a Brahmana. But in the long term, the tolerance of the Brahmana is stronger. Why? Because the tolerance of the Kshatriya is based on determination. I shall do it. But how long can you say that? One day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, I shall do it. 20 years, I shall do it. 30 years, I shall do it. 40 years, I shall do it. It's difficult. But the Brahmana, his tolerance is based on knowledge. And because it's based on knowledge, therefore his conviction is stronger because he sees, I have no alternative. What else can I do? I know it's hard to be a devotee. I know it's a struggle. But what else is there to do? There's nothing else. There's no alternative. See? But if one is just saying, I must be a devotee, I shall be a devotee, I'm going to be a devotee, want to be a devotee, then one day you'll say, do I really want to be a devotee? And that day, that Maya comes knocking on the door and says, look what I've got for you. That's the way it goes. So, therefore, we have to thoroughly understand. Therefore, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. But then there are devotees, they take 77 years to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah? And then what can we say? You know, you're lucky if you get that long. Yeah? I mean, see, I've always had a hard time with reading. Here we go again. a sad song, what to do? We have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. It has nothing to do with like being a reader or not. It's just it's everything to do with like, it's our lifeline. It's our lifeline. If we don't read it, we'll die. Simple as that. No Bhagavatam. Khatam. It's finished. Shesh. Dead homia. What to do? Spiritually dead. If there's no Bhagavatam, then spiritual life becomes a burden. That's how it is. If we are not hearing Bhagavatam, then after a short time, everything in spiritual life will be experienced as a burden, and then we start to look for relief on the material platform. This is the problem of the Hare Krishna movement. See, the Prabhupada also said, he said that, my complaint is that, if I have any, Prabhupada said, my complaint is that my disciples are not reading my books. So, it's because then the vision doesn't stay strong. Then we are not having this transcendental vision. Just like if we read this purport today about Maharaj Yudhisthira and the cows and the fruits and the milk and the nice way nature behaves. All right, then we think of that for a moment. Right? Otherwise, we might sort of think that life is quite nice with, you know, all the gadgets we have and all the, you know, all the things we have. And we might really feel that, yes. You know. Whereas this is artificial. It's in a way artificial to communicate with so many people all over the world. It's artificial when one family, right, lives all over the world. Now every Indian family, and not only Indian, every family practically has someone on every continent. How can you have a family like that? No family. It's impossible. My family is like that. I have relatives in South Africa. I've lost them. I don't know where they are. I have relatives in America. They've lost themselves. I have relatives. Where else do I have relatives? Well, in the Netherlands. I have relatives all over. I can't remember when they've all been together. Was there a time when all my relatives were together? I don't think so. So one is meant to live in a village with his relatives. Right? And it's like, you know, that's the natural system. It's not natural to fly all over the world, I tell you that. From experience, it's not natural. Cars are not natural. So all these things are there now, but one day they will not be there. All these things are there for a short period of time. Now we have big projectors and we can project on screens, right? And now we have big printing presses and now we can print so many books and all these things. And now nobody remembers anything. It's on your hard disk or on your phone or somewhere in some device. You know? Yes, I know that verse. You know, quickly, Veda base. Yes, here it is. Yes. Who actually memorizes verses? But that is the systems. Not only reading the books, but interestingly, we see reciting the Vedic literature. Reciting, that is like mentioned in the books, reciting the Vedic literatures. And you still hear this, that like people in India, when there's a new house, then there is some Brahmana, and he is reciting the Gita, and all the verses of the Gita, you know, like being Tanakhi, the Guru Kshetra, the whole thing, one after another, very fast. But it goes on all night over a loudspeaker, and very loud also. But something of ancient time comes through when people were reciting Vedic scriptures. And if you recite, then you know. Like everyone after some time knows the Guru Vastikam, Sansara Dhava. Okay. In case you didn't know the name. But everybody knows, right? Everybody knows after some time because we sing it every day. So, in this way, if we would recite every day a chapter of the Gita, then after some time you actually know it. Yeah? You actually start to know it. So this is a very nice culture. Instead of just Googling things or instead of looking on our device, as it's now. So, little by little, we can. Prabhupada in this purport says that one thing he says, where was it? He said that we don't even need iron tools. My God, no iron tools. We're back to the Stone Ages, you know what I mean? No, not even iron tools. I mean, then we're going really primitive, right? Really. But that's what he said just here. We actually don't. He says we don't need iron tools. What about that? That's a long way back from where we are now. So we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine such changes. And we will not artificially implement such changes. But by chanting Hare Krishna and by really worshipping Krishna, gradually the desire to simplify will come. Gradually the desire to just live a simple life will come. And thus, society will naturally become more simple, and naturally some of the hardships will disappear. Like it is said that when the astrological constellation is right, that then when it rains, that then that rain, when it hits the water, turns into pearls, believe it or not.
And that's mentioned in this purport. So then natural wealth will be there. Then you don't need to work so hard. Pick up some pearls. Now you have to work for a long time in the factory to make a lot of money to buy some pearls, real pearls. Better buy plastic. Cheaper. Good imitation. Looks nice. Well, I tried a little bit to highlight this purport as an important one, an important message that we should present to the world. We should for ourselves understand that this is really the better way of life and why, so that we can be convinced. And in general, then I spoke about our own personal qualification in spiritual life and how it will never be easy unless we desire spiritual life. And desire comes from knowledge and from association with devotees. So like that, even an ideal world, even at the time of Yudhisthira Maharaj, not everyone became a devotee. Not everyone became a pure devotee. And not that there was no struggle in life. Struggle will remain. So we have no... We have to build on our strengths so that we can take on the struggle of spiritual life. And again, I'm saying that we, including myself. But look at Prabhupada, how convinced he was and what he did. So any comments, any questions from Madhumanga? Some people have said that Prabhupada said that, but I never heard anybody actually testifying that Prabhupada said.
And my question is, can we as devotees become, or do we have a duty to become transcendental environmental activists?
Do we have a duty to become transcendental
environmental
activists? We have duties on all fronts. We have, as a movement, we have a broad agenda. Our principal agenda is spiritual knowledge. That's our principal agenda. But then we have an additional agenda. We also have an agenda to defeat Darwinism, right? And Prabhupada started the Bhaktivedanta Institute. We also have a duty to give the environmental message of cow protection, right? And agriculture as the base of society. And Prabhupada wanted farms. So we have many agendas in to show the world the way. The essence of what we have to give is chant Hare Krishna and, you know, and give up sinful activities, four principles. That's the first message. Then, in the follow-up message to that, people need a way of life. It's nice. Now we're chanting Hare Krishna. And now we're vegetarians, but now we're caught in this crazy world. Now what do we do next? Go back to the land. Start protecting the cows. So, yes, we have an environmental message to the world. Protect the cow. That's our environmental message. Protect the cow. Just stay there on the chair.
I understand what you're saying, but the example. But nature kind of people don't want to take the example.
They don't want to. That's
okay. They don't want to. They don't see that example.
Yes.
Today we can tell them these things. But what I'm making sure we actually go down in the mainstream in society and become activists, just like.
No. Not just like. Everything you said was good until you said just like. Hold on. When you think just like, that's where you go wrong. We should just do it in our own way. In our own way, we should be activists, not just like. We should do it in our way. And our way is by chanting Hare Krishna. Our way is by preaching about cow protection. Our way is to do cow protection ourselves. Our way is to have farms. Our way is to have restaurants which are taking the supply of these farms. Because our way is Prabhupada's way. So we should do it Prabhupada's way. Not just like. We should do it Prabhupada's way. And he said how to do it. He said that the farms should be self-sufficient. He said that then the farms can supply milk, grains and other foodstuffs to the restaurants and temples in the city. He said those things. But we never did the farms. We lived on the farms and sold paintings so that we could live there. Or we had an internet business so that we could live on the farms. And, you know, when you go to any ISKCON farm, I visit many, and then you come there, and then you ask the devotees, so what is our land? Is that our land? Yes. Is that our land? Yes. And that land, is that of the neighbors? They say, yes, that's of the neighbors. How did you know? I say, well, that's green. That must be the neighbors. And the dry patch, that must be the land with nothing on it. That must be ours. Right? Yeah. That's how it is. Our farms are not developed. Not developed. Anyway, I think you should just distribute books. But tell people about cow protection. This gives you the philosophy, and then you need a way of life. Protect the cow. But others are inspired to farm, so say they should do it. They should do it. He's inspired to follow.
When you mentioned two different types of determination, like the Shakya and when I heard of both of them, sort of seemed like a bit of a drag, you know?
Seemed to what? Irrelevant?
It'd be a bit of a drag. It's like
a drag.
I don't know really how to express it, but
yeah.
It just seems really sort of. And I was just wondering if it's possible, you know, really to maintain the culture of.
No, it's a drag. It's a drag. And the drag is that you have to drag yourself out of bed, and that you have to drag yourself to bow down before Krishna, and then we have to drag ourselves to take up this process. And that is that drag, translated into spiritual terms, is the fundamental principle of the universe. That is the instruction that Lord Brahma got from within. Tapa. Tapa. Tapasya. Tapas. You know. So there is struggle. a drag is just a slang word for struggle. Okay? And struggle means tapas. So tapas is an inherent feature of material existence. And you can't escape it, no matter where. Even Lord Brahma couldn't escape it. And in the human form of life, on this planet, there's quite a bit, especially in the age of Kali. Yeah. There's lots of it. What to do? We can't. So it doesn't matter where you go, it will always be there. You know, some people feel spiritual life's too austere, but everything is austere. Life is austere. Wherever you go. Brahmachari life too austere, I agree. Grihastha life also too austere. Vanaprastha life austere. Sannyasa life austere. No ashram at all, austere. Free for all, austere. Man and woman living together without marriage, austere. Yeah. No regulative principle at all. You're going to be fighting over who's going to make the coffee. Austere. Spiritually, all these material relationships are temporary, and what is the real bond? But because family affection is natural, we can take advantage of it by putting Krishna in the center of the family. And then when we do so, then all these affectionate bonds will actually help us to together worship Krishna. So in that way, one can engage it in the service of Krishna, and it becomes a favorable element. Whereas otherwise, such affection is on the bodily platform. But still, it's naturally there. Parents will naturally, when they are devotees, they'll naturally want their children to be devotees. So then the parental affection becomes favorable. So just at Krishna, and all these things in life will start to work for us. Family affection. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, family affection is a good thing if the whole family is Krishna conscious. You see these families, four generations, Krishna conscious, everyone, auntie, uncle, everybody initiated. It's pretty good. That's very nice. Everything in the house is prasada, you know, yay. That's better than so many other families. So family life can be very nice when Krishna's in the center. Like that. Finished, is it? No? Yes? Just on the mic, we can't hear you.
It's a question for me.
Okay. She's on Skype.
Hare Krishna. The topics of the Brahma is based on knowledge, but our knowledge is not realized and may take a while. How do we prevent falling into the trap of the Kshatriya's determination?
Well, we need a bit of both in the beginning. In one sense, we need to sometimes impose some discipline on ourselves. And I'm just going to do this. I will just do it. Difficult or not, I'll do it. You know, fix myself. More in the Kshatriya spirit. But we do need regular hearing so that our knowledge is developing and that we are maturing and becoming deeper in that way. And then we'll see that new devotees are often very strict, you know, about, like, oh, I have to follow this, very strict. And as you get more mature in Krishna consciousness, you become more human also, yeah, about Krishna consciousness. Because one is more maintaining on the strength of knowledge and not just on determination. So in the beginning, a bit of both, and gradually our knowledge and realization is growing deeper and deeper. And then the determination comes automatically. I'm going to stop.